The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Hoop Ballers! Welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. It is 2 o'clock on the East Coast, and my name, as always, is Ira Silver. You can find me on Twitter at Iris Silver Magic. I got my main man, Devin Ellington, DALE007, with me today. What's up, Mr. Bond?
Oh, man. You know, this is weird. We're in the same time zone for the first time. This is inaugural right now. I'm in Atlanta now. You're still in Miami. So this is kind of cool. It's kind of weird, but kind of cool.
Love it, man. Love it. Let's, before we get into today's episode, let's just give a shout-out to our sponsors over at Manscaped.com. They got the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0 with their water-resistant technology. I love mine. I know, Devin, you've mentioned that you love yours. Go pick one up today at Manscaped.com. Get 20% off free shipping. If you just go ahead and type in the promo code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20 at Manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping. Devin, we had a fantastic weekend, opening weekend, college football week one, and a little NFL as well to cap it off. I posted some plays on Twitter. We went 3-1 in those plays. Had a couple others on the Action app that, if you followed along, were winners as well. Devin, I know you're excited about today. Talk, maybe flex a little bit. I know your NCAA picks did pretty well. I was pretty high on the Raging Cajuns as well. I got down on that pretty hard. We did a nice job this weekend. Any memorable bets for you besides the Raging Cajuns?
Ira, I got one word for you, buddy. Chanticleers. Chanticleers. Those roosters, man. Those teal roosters. I told you. I told a lot of people. But I'm just glad it panned out because I would have looked like a fool. Man, they made a statement win. 2 years in a row beating KU. And they're just moving on up into the FBS. They're getting a lot of notoriety. So that plus 220 money line, and then I took the plus 7. It was probably the best bet I had all weekend. And, you know,
yeah, I actually got down on Kansas' second half line, so that, yeah, that worked out well for
and
me.
I actually
had a little scare there at the end, but
good thing you didn't listen to me on that, because we talked offline. You got my opinion on it. I responded late, so I don't apologize, because you pulled the trigger already and it worked out. But, continue this exciting conversation about Coastal Carolina and Kansas, I wanted to shout out a follower and a listener of ours, because he tailed me on it. And, he even said he had no idea who Coastal Carolina was. But his Twitter handle, guys, at Dude Goods, just the way it sounds, DUDEGOODS. The guy's been loyal and listening for a few months now. He's been riding high with us, making some money with us, and it's just good to get this love, and the good and the bad, they all kind of come, but whenever we get some loyal listener love, it's always fun and exciting.
Yeah, speaking of loyal listeners, my boy Adam Kirk, he's a loyal listener, so shout out to him. He had a nice weekend. He tailed some stuff and we had a good time, so yeah, shout out to all the loyal listeners out there. Feel free to interact with us on Twitter. Again, I'm at Iris Silver Magic. Devin's at DALE007. We're also at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter. Follow us along for live plays, etc. Devin, we got some Monday Night Football to talk about. You want to start with that, or you want to kick it off with a little baseball?
Let's roll right along with the football. It treated us well this weekend. Let's refresh the folks what we talked about on Friday night, and just kind of see where our heads are at now.
All right, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers against the New York Football Giants. Giants plus 6.5, over under 45 in this one. I think it could be a shootout here. I would lean to the over. I might not play it, but that's my lean here. I've already played the New York Football Giants, so give me the plus 6.5 all day. I think they might win this game outright here at plus 210.
Yeah, I like that call. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling – What's that guy's name? He wasn't week one, but the dangerous guy, waking up feeling dangerous. Baker Mayfield was not dangerous week one, but I'm feeling dangerous, and I like the Giants in this spot. I'm going to back them at +6. The steam has come down to a full 2 points on the under. I got it right at the middle of under 46. I think that the Giants have an underrated front seven. Big Ben coming back. You know, it's week one. Weird stuff happens. Half units, guys.
Yep, I'm rolling with the Giants tonight. I might play the over. I'm not sure on that one yet. But speaking of your boy Baker, I did a little tweet over on the Twitter app about you know, I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of Joey Molinaro from Barstool Sports. Gave a little. I told him he needs to put another Baker Colin Coward video. Baker, he's one of us. I love his stuff. Yeah. Love his impressions. Shout out to Joey over there doing great stuff at Barstool. Big fan. But yeah, no, Baker's just, man,
that was rough.
He's just, I can't even put it into words how bad he was, how bad the Browns were. I think I could probably play in the NFL if, that's the standard.
You know, not to deviate too much, and we got another Monday night game to talk about, but I just kind of wanted to get one of your biggest surprises from week one in the NFL, maybe a player performance or fantasy, maybe a DFS guy or a team in general, you know. What did you think?
Yeah, actually, really impressed. I mean, I know we this is our first year covering the NFL for the pod, but I was a big proponent, a big fan of Garner Minshew last year. I loved him coming out of college. You know, I'm a big Pac-12 guy. He transferred there. Mm-hmm. Played well his last season, got drafted. You know, big fan. I love LaVisca Chenault as well. I underrated how good that Jacksonville Jaguars team really was. I mean, I don't know if it's a byproduct of the Colts being so bad. Phillip Rivers is just a terrible choice for them. I think they should have just kept rolling with Jacoby Brissett. But, you know, it is what it is. And I'm a mustache Minshew kind of guy. I like the guy. I like his style, his moxie. I might be looking up at the Jaguars moving forward after that really nice competitive game that they had over the weekend.
And with everything they lost on defense, specifically up front, granted, they had a really great draft also, in my opinion. They got some guys to kind of fill in. But, you know, losing, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, and then, you know, just a couple of years ago, Malik Jefferson, you know, it's just – this line in the front seven continues to, you know, Paul Posluszny retiring a couple years ago. It's just they keep losing.
You're talking about Malik Jackson?
Jackson. I said Jefferson. That was a basketball player. Malik Jefferson was a basketball player.
I actually went to college with Malik.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, yeah, I've met him. I mean, not friends or anything, but, yeah, met him a couple times. I think he was in one of my classes at Southern Cal, so that was fun. And then I think he transferred – I don't know. I think he transferred to Tennessee or something. I can't remember. He's a beast. He's a beast. Yeah, but yeah, no, I'm very surprised about this Jacksonville Jaguars team. I'm looking for some value maybe in their line moving forward. I've already placed one bet for NFL week two, if you're interested in hearing.
I am very interested, Ira. Please do not tease.
Not to get sidetracked on the Monday Night Football, but I've already got down on the Vikings +3 against the Colts.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Are the Vikings on the road in that one?
They are on the road +3. I don't think that is a realistic line. I think it should be lower.
Yeah.
Maybe Colts -1.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that the home field advantage is really quite there right now, especially with no fans in the stands. And, you know, playing at the racetrack. I don't, you know, even though Green Bay kind of blew out Minnesota, I mean, I know the final score wasn't really a blowout, but it really was. I think that Minnesota is the better team here. Sure. I would look for them to win outright in this game as well.
Yeah, man. Great call early on by Ira. You want to talk a little bit about Tennessee, Denver?
Tennessee Titans against the Denver Broncos +3 on the Broncos side, -3 Tennessee, over/under 41 here. Man, it seems like the whole world and their mom is on Tennessee Titans for this one.
Yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued about maybe taking the other side, betting against the pub.
I'm just going to make a, you know, general statement under, you know, opinion here. the game's in Denver. We all know about the air and the, you know, atmosphere and the pressure and all that. This was not a normal offseason, as we've harped already so far in week one about. The conditioning that these guys missed out on, I think, is going to be huge going from, you know, humid, sticky Nashville all the way over to thin, you know, higher up, elevated Denver. You know, we say it all the time every NFL season, teams going to Denver, this, that, the third. But I think it's specifically more important this year because of the shortened conditioning. And, you know, look for someone to step up in the spot that Von Miller, you know, left with his knee injury, which that really stinks. I was really excited to see him and Bradley Chubb are out. So they got to get some pass rush from somewhere. But I like the Denver.
Sorry, don't mind me. I'm just taking. Yeah, don't mind me. I'm just taking a sip of my my Coke Zero here. They're not sponsors of the show or anything. Nice. I like Denver here. I, for all the reasons you're talking about, Denver is a tough place to play. We saw it time and time again last year, even though I thought they were horrible last year. You know, they get big wins at home. People just are not used to playing there. And give me the altitude. Give me the guys in Denver who are used to playing there. Mm-hmm. Give me the no endurance, no conditioning really in this offseason here. I'm going to take a chance here with Denver plus the points in this one. No opinion on the total.
I've got a lean.
But,
to the
yeah, man, I'm excited. Okay, lean to the under. It's a low total in this one, but could be a nice play for the under.
Sure.
We got some baseball talk about, Devin, and I know you're the baseball guru, so let's jump into it right away. We got Cody Ponce and the Pittsburgh Pirates taking on Cincinnati and Trevor Bauer in game one of a doubleheader. Cincinnati minus 240 here, over under 6 runs in this one. Any thoughts for you? I know you don't like the doubleheader games, but there's a few of them to go over here.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of this one. I'm going to pass on this one.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm passing on this first game, but the second game of this doubleheader is actually one of my favorite games to bet on tonight. And when you see who's pitching and where he's pitching at, I think you'll understand.
All right. Next game on the board, we got the Atlanta Braves in Tucson against Jorge Lopez and the Baltimore Orioles. Atlanta's minus 160. Baltimore plus 130, over under 10 runs in this one. You got to think that the over is in play here with these two batting teams.
Yeah, I like that a lot, specifically because Baltimore, the last, I think it was 10 games, as a team, they're allowing 6.32 earned runs. So, you know, you see the wheels starting to come off a little bit for the Orioles team. They were exciting. You know, they had some steam and they were beating some teams. I backed them a lot as dogs, and on the money line, they won me lots of money. They were really profitable. But I think, you know, this is just the time where you're going to see teams that it just kind of comes off. San Francisco, it's happening now. They're now almost 10 games out of the second place spot out west. Then, you know, the Rockies, again, in that division. You're going to start seeing it with certain teams. The pretenders are going to start being real big here. So the over, just because Baltimore alone might give up 5 or 6 runs.
All right, next matchup on the board, we got game one in the St. Louis Cardinals, Milwaukee Brewers. We got Lindblom on the mound for the Brewers, minus 120 against the even St. Louis Cardinals and Kwang Hyun Kim. Sorry if I butchered that one. I believe, is this a pitching matchup of the KBO?
Yeah. Josh Lindblom was the MVP of the KBO 2 years ago. Kwang Hyun Kim, he actually just came over from the KBO. So this is, you've been learning. Look at that KBO knowledge.
Trying, man.
You got to get in where you fit in. But no true opinion on this one for me. Lindblom, you know, he's got that almost 7 ERA, but this is another, you know, doubleheader game. If I'm looking at anything, let me find it real quick. I want to see if I get a good number on it. Yeah, St. Louis over 3, team total, at minus 115. I'm locking that in right now. So I like that a lot. 2 units.
All right. Perfect, perfect. We got the Minnesota Twins and Barrios on the mound against Dylan Cease and the White Sox. Yes. Twins -140, White Sox +120. This is going to be a fun game to watch. Over under 9 runs, shaded to the over -120. Any thoughts for you here with Barrios and Cease on the mound for these two high-powered offensive teams?
Other than the second game of the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati doubleheader, this is probably my other favorite game of the night. We got 230-win teams here, divisional opponents. I've talked about the system that I follow on the Action Network. Again, not an affiliate, just a wonderful personal tool. Contrarian unders for winning teams, a 55% win percentage, 8% ROI. And have you ever gone up, like on a roller coaster, Ira? Have you ever done that?
You know, I'm a little bit of a nervous guy, so I tend to stay away from roller coasters. But, yes, I've done it a couple of times in my youth. And to say that was one too many times, it was probably one too many times for me.
Sure. Well, this system is, you know, it's making that climb, you know, that climb. So we want to make sure to get on it, you know, as much as we can before, you know, because the way sports betting is, everything pans out, you know, it ebbs and flows. But this system is hitting really, really well right now. So I'm going to look and be absolutely crazy here. These powerful bats for both teams, I'm going to go under first five at plus even money, you know, even money. And I'm going to take full game under 9 at even money. So I've got 1.75 units on both of those bets. Barrios, strikeout pitcher. Cease, ground ball pitcher. Gets lots of outs. Both the Twins and the Sox are top 5 in opponent runs allowed for the first 5 innings, which they barely allow runs. Now, on the flip side, the scary part of this, which is sports betting, but both of those teams also are top 5 in offensive runs scored in the first 5 innings. But I have more faith in the pitching matchups. Both guys are trending up. The last few start or couple starts for them, their whip has come way down, their control, not a lot of base runners given up. So I'm looking at the under first 5 and full.
I love it, man. I might have to tail you on that one, but a little scary at the thought of it. Anyways, the next game on the board, we got the game 2 of the doubleheader, Pittsburgh Pirates rolling out Mitch Keller against Anthony Desclafani for the Reds. And that's my boy. That's your boy. -150 for the Reds, over under 7.5. Shady, the under -115. Any thoughts for you here?
I'm going to start with the hottest take. The hottest take. And that is the umpire, Hal Gibson III. He has a 4-6 home money line record. I'm looking at Pittsburgh at +140 to win outright. I'm just going to go through some of these Pittsburgh bats. I didn't write every number down because it just seems like every person on this Pittsburgh team rakes against Desclafani. But listen to some of these numbers. So the lowest average on this projected Pittsburgh lineup with at least 3 at-bats against Desclafani is a 278. And that's Adam Frazier, which is a capable hitter. Now, the probably one of the better bats against Desclafani, and I'm calling my shot right here, Colin Moran is going to go yard. He has 13 at-bats against Desclafani. He hits .308, 3 homers, 7 ribbies. Then you got Gregory Polanco, 21 at-bats, hitting .333, 2 homers, 5 ribbies. I'm going to say it again. Desclafani is going to give up at least 1 dinger today. And if it was a full game, I would say 2 dingers. But possibly with base runners on, since his 2020 whip is a 1.76, which is higher than his career of 1.29, I like the Pittsburgh team total over. And, yeah, Desclafani dingers. Yeah, he's just going to be serving them up.
All right, man. Love the take. Love the info. That's why we keep you around, Evan. Next game on the board, we got the Oakland Athletics. Game 1 of a doubleheader again. Jesus Luzardo, the lefty, against Marco Gonzalez, the lefty for the Mariners. -160 for the Athletics, +130 for the Mariners, over under 6. Shaded to the under, -120. Any thoughts for you here on this one?
General hitting downgrade for both teams against lefties. We've talked about it before. Maybe I have. Probably me. I've talked about it, and Marco Gonzalez being the Mariners' quote-unquote ace. his ERA just keeps dropping over his last few starts. Luxardo, the last time we talked about this kid, his ERA was at 4.2 something. It's now under the 4 mark. These pitchers are trending in the right way. Now, this sucks for my futures tickets. Matt Chapman, out for the season, hip surgery. They're also going to be down Chad Pender tonight, who's a solid platoon right fielder for them. And then the Mariners are missing a couple infielders probably tonight in J.P. Crawford as well as Shed Long Jr. So I'm looking at the under in the first five specifically, just because, you know, Luxardo
has
great
power.
There's no
first five, Devin.
First three and a half.
7-inning game.
First three and a half. You know what I mean. Yeah, so maybe looking at full game, but I have a stronger lean to the first three and a half under.
All right, I love it, man. I love the info. I'm going to tell you on that one as well. Next game up on the board, another Game 2 doubleheader, Cardinals and Daniel Ponce de Leon against Corbin Burns and the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers minus $2 here, Cardinals plus 160, over under 6, shave the under minus 115. Devin, give me something here. I know you like something in the first game. Give me something here in the second game.
Milwaukee, team total over 3.5 at minus 120. Because
all right, cool.
Ponce de Leon just lets people hit the ball for fun.
He lets them ponce on them. Ha ha.
Oh.
Anyways, next next game on the board, we got the Philadelphia Phillies and Vince Velasquez against Pablo Lopez and the Miami Marlins. Marlins minus 120 here. Phillies even money, over under 8.5. Shaded to the over at minus 115. I kind of like – kind of thinking Marlins over the team total, but maybe you can talk me out of it.
Well, I'm not going to talk you out of it, but I do have the under in this game. But that's
– even with the Philly bullpen?
Even with the Philly bullpen. But, you know, I got some reasoning behind it, all right? I got some reasoning behind it. These two pitchers, right? They're trending. They're trending in the right way. Lopez usually has a pretty solid whip. You know, he's a 1.27 career whip pitcher. 1.38 this year, it's not that much more, but, you know, it's more. And it's still pretty low as far as league average goes. 40 Ks versus 13 walks. His last couple starts, his last one specifically, it was just a control issue. He just couldn't get his off-speed stuff under control. He's too good of a pitcher to do that two starts in a row, especially with how, you know, his whip and his, you know, his XFIB and BATPIB and all that stuff has been trending. You know, in the last two starts, he's allowed less hits than normal, but more ERA. It was just kind of fluky, in my opinion. So he also has only allowed 3 home runs on the year. Highest whip of the year was his last start, and that was that 1.38. which is really, really solid still. Now on Velasquez's side, his last start, he went 5 innings, 9 Ks, and had his lowest whip since his third start on August 9th. Now, Philly is third in the majors in strikeouts per game as a hitting team. That's why I like Lopez a lot here. He's a strikeout pitcher. Philly strikes out a crap ton. So if you get a good value on a good strikeout prop total for Lopez, I say hit the over. And then one last little bit, the Phillies are also 11th in opponent's strikeouts per game. So pretty solid, almost top 10. So I'm looking at some strikeouts tonight. Velasquez had 9 last time out. Lopez is a strikeout pitcher. So I'm looking at a lot of swings and misses.
All right, man, I like it. Devin, before we get into the basketball and hockey here, just want to remind everybody, if you don't have an account over at mybookie.ag, go sign up for one. Use the promo code HOOPBALL, that's HOOPBALL, and you'll get 100% match on your first deposit and a free $10 MLB future. So go over there, go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code HOOPBALL. Next thing we need to talk about is NBA here, but that's not until tomorrow, correct?
Yep, you are correct. Yeah.
But we can just kind of glance over real quick.
We already teased.
Yeah, I think 207, you might see the under in play. I mean, game sevens, unders are in play, but I think I'm going to go contrarian here and take the over 207 and a half. And again, with everything I always say, pre-flop betting NBA is the most difficult thing you can do. And we saw it the other day. We saw it yesterday with Nuggets, Clippers. If you took the Nuggets when they were down big, they came back and won the game. So I always say wait and see. So let's see how things develop tomorrow, and we'll keep it going and keep it rolling with some NBA live bets and leans as well. Miami, Boston, that's going to be a tough one. I think we should just wait on that to tomorrow see if there's any new game plans, new people sitting out, rolling into the rotation. Sure. I know, you know, a lot of things can change with the Celtics rotation from series to series. So let's ponder on that tonight and see about tomorrow when we talk a little bit more. All right.
Absolutely. I like that.
All right, we got a fantastic game tonight. Vegas down 3-1 in the series against the Dallas Stars. Vegas minus 170 against the Stars. Stars plus 150. You got to think that this is a must-win game here for the Vegas Golden Knights. Down 3-1, elimination game. I can't lay the minus 170, Devin. Yeah, I just can't do it. So if you're going to bet anything here, if you're going to bet anything, it's going to be the minus 1.5 on the puck line or Vegas to win in regulation. But, yeah, no, I'm not – Vegas can't seem to get the goal in the net, and they need to turn some things around or else it's going to be a pretty long offseason for them, and they're going to be quite disappointed in not making the finals. So I lean Vegas, but at minus 170, I just can't do it.
It seems like that they've had, like, you know, a minus 160, minus 170 number a lot in this series. And I feel like people that, you know, bet the Stars this series individually throughout the games have probably made a decent amount of money because they've, you know, they've been catching some pretty good juice on this, or opposite juice on this money line throughout the series. Man, I just, for you and I's futures tickets, let's go Golden Knights.
Yeah, well, the good thing is I do have the Tampa Bay Lightning on a futures as well. It looks like the Lightning should close this one out against the Islanders. Maybe not tomorrow, but they definitely should win, being up 3-1. So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully one of my futures tickets can come through to the Stanley Cup, and we will go from there. But, yeah, I mean, Knights got to win tonight, so I'm just rooting for my futures ticket. Sit back, enjoy the game, maybe with a cold beverage, and, you know, hopefully the Knights can right the ship and put some goals in against Khudobin, who's been pretty great in goal for them since Ben Bishop went down. And it's a very Jekyll and Hyde Dallas team against, you know, from one series to the next, with against the Avalanche to the Vegas Golden Knights. So, you know, allowing a lot of goals and high-scoring games against the Avalanche to very low-scoring games against the Vegas Golden Knights. Who would have thought? Right. Anyways, that's it for today's show, Devin. Any parting words? You know, obviously, we would love for all of our listeners to chime in with us on Twitter. I'm at Iris Silver Magic. Devin's at DALE007, and we're at Hoopball Gaming. Please hit a 5-star review for us on iTunes. That would really help the podcast along. Any other parting words, Devin, except for let's go make some money tonight?
You know, it's a thin slate, but, you know, hopefully we helped some people find some value. I feel pretty good about the baseball stuff tonight. And again, I just want to say thank you to everybody. I mean, it's the interaction that we're picking some steam up on lately has been just, it makes me bubbly, man. Bubbly and giddly.
Thank you to all the loyal listeners out there. We really appreciate all the support. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, guys. Let's go win some money. Go Giants!
This has been a HoopBall presentation.